Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, what is the best way to treat acute pancreatitis? We have new guidelines for the management of acute pancreatitis, and what do they say? How should you treat them? When should you feed them? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bill, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Here's the deal, my friends. Here is the deal. There are new guidelines out on the management of acute pancreatitis from the American College of Gastroenterology. The new guidelines, what do they say? How should we manage? What should we do? Well, I can't obviously read you the whole guidelines, but I can hit on some high points that I think are important and that you should probably know. The new guidelines, what is the most common cause of acute pancreatitis? Well, it is gallstones, 40 to 70%, and then alcohol, 25 to 35. If you get the board question, the test question that says, what's the most common cause? Is it alcohol or gallstones? The answer is gallstones by a landslide. As far as the diagnosis, they mentioned the diagnosis only needs two of the three following criteria. One, abdominal pain consistent with the disease. Two, a serum amylase or lipase greater than three times the upper limit of normal. And three, characteristic findings for abdominal imaging. This means that if you have abdominal pain that's consistent with the disease and an increased amylase lipase, you don't need the CT. We can do without the CT, the imaging, the ultrasound. We can do without with all of it because you only need two of three. And they are big on the fact that we suggest that early at admission routine CT not be performed for the purpose of determining severity of acute pancreatitis and should be reserved for patients in whom the diagnosis is unclear or who fail to improve clinically within the first 48 to 72 hours. They are also very clear that once the diagnosis of acute pancreatitis is established, there is really no reason to follow the serum amylase or lipase because there is no relationship to severity, prognosis, or impact on the decision to refeed or discharge the patient based on a lab value. This is the old treat the patient, not the lab value, and I really couldn't agree more. What about fluid? Yes, we know that we have to give the patient fluid, but what kind of fluid should we give them? The guideline states that we should have moderately aggressive fluid resuscitation with lactated ringers solution, and an additional bolus can be given if the patient has evidence of hypovolemia. When you go into the studies, as a reminder, moderate aggressive fluid resuscitation was defined in the studies as a fluid bolus of 10 mLs per kg, followed by an infusion of 1.5 mLs per kg per hour. In general, the guidelines state that fluid resuscitation should result in intravenous hydration that then is seen by a decrease in the hematocrit because of hemodilution, and a decrease in the BUN because of increased renal perfusion. If you're seeing a decrease in both of those, then you need to reevaluate whether the patient still needs as much fluid as you're actually giving them. And if you're making a diagnosis of acute pancreatitis because of cholangitis, well, then you need early ERCP. Early ERCP within the first 24 hours has been shown to decrease morbidity and mortality. That's enough with fluids. That's enough with diagnosis. Let's talk about feeding. Yes, let's talk about eating. Let's talk about the thing that's going on the plate. The guidelines say early oral feeding within 24 to 48 hours should begin with a low-fat solid diet for patients with mild acute pancreatitis. They go into all kinds of details in this guideline, and I actually think it's worth reading for anyone who is not starting with early feeding. But they basically say, listen, we know that for a long time now, people have done nothing by mouth. We know for a long time now, people have said, well, we're not going to give you anything by mouth until your abdominal pain is better. And then they also say, but that is completely the wrong way to do it. Because for the longest time, we thought that we would just prevent the worsening of the pancreatitis. And it turns out that we probably were not actually preventing worsening pancreatitis or worsening pancreatic necrosis by not feeding these patients. We actually might have been doing more harm than good in that sense. One of the things that I like that the guideline does say is that most of the studies that look at refeeding or starting feeding start feeding when the treatment team allows the patient to start eating. But there are a couple studies that have had a novel approach for starting feeding based on the hunger experienced by the patient. And I like this a lot because the results don't seem to be any different, but you just ask the patient, are you hungry? And if they say, yeah, I think I could eat a little bit, then you can go ahead and start feeding them. You can start feeding them with a low-fat, solid diet. And why is it a low-fat, solid diet? It's because it's been shown safe compared with a clear liquid diet, and it provides more calories. And as in other trials, oral feeding with soft diet has been found to be safe compared with clear liquids and shortens the hospital stay. That is what we're all about when they're in the hospital, is to shorten the stay. So if you can go ahead and start with a soft diet rather than clear liquid diet, and there's no difference in outcomes, but you get decreased length of stay, you might as well do it. And last but not least, let's talk about surgery, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about going out and cutting out the gallbladder. Let's talk about surgery. And that is that patients with mild acute biliary pancreatitis should undergo cholecystectomy early, preferably before discharge. Unless the patient has pancreatic necrosis, and in that case, you should wait at least 4 weeks. And if you have a second episode of acute pancreatitis, but no identifiable cause, there's no reason for your acute pancreatitis, you're not an alcoholic, you don't have stones that we can find, then the patient is fit for surgery. It is recommended that if you have two episodes of acute pancreatitis, and we can't figure out the reason, then cholecystectomy is recommended to reduce the risk of recurrent episodes of acute pancreatitis. I think ultimately, for me, the takeaway, bottom line, is for individuals with acute pancreatitis, the main things that I'm taking away from this major change or this major guideline is to give moderate fluid resuscitation. We don't need to be aggressive on that. To start early feeding with a soft, low-fat diet. We don't need to wait until the patient is completely out of pain or start them on even a clear liquid diet. And then surgery. Ideally, this will be done before discharge if necessary. And if we have two episodes of acute pancreatitis but no cause for that acute pancreatitis, well, then that patient also needs surgery in the form of a cholecystectomy. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, keep the quest and questioning.